Dr. Petra Lundgren. Petra, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on this topic this morning.
Thank you for calling me. Good to be able to talk about it.
Now, looking at this this solution that has been raised, this possible solution, how has this one come about? Was it just your foundation involved, or were there some other parties helping out?
The idea of unlocking the secret to stress tolerance in general through the looking at genetics has been around for a long time. I mean, it was part of the reason that we sequenced the human genome was to try to find out what the genetic code was that underlied some of our diseases and medical issues that we have as humans. So, I mean, the idea has been around for a long time. We have looked at possible sort of trying to correlate genetics with environmental gradients in corals for probably the last 10 years at least. But one thing that we kept sort of coming up against every time we tried to go down this pathway was that we knew so very little about the foundations of it. We didn't have a proper sequenced genome for corals until 2012 was the first one that was released, and even that was quite a messy sort of effort at doing it because it is such a complex organism. So, I mean, although the idea is that by unlocking and making all of these genomes available, we can make a step change and actually start to understand the stress response in corals better, we're still a long way away from finding that solution. So this was putting down the foundations, laying that really, really important foundational data. And I mean, we've sequenced 9 out of hundreds and hundreds of species of corals so far. So we're starting to scratch the surface of this, but laying a very, very important foundation.
Could you explain to us how the process goes for genetically modifying coral?
Nobody is genetically modifying corals at the moment. What we are really trying to do is find out what genes regulate the stress response in corals. So it's more about, you know, when you're breeding plants for higher pest or insect attack tolerance, for example, you're looking at those that, okay, we've got a disease spreading through the crop now. These individuals survive, so let's breed on those individuals. And if you know which genes underlie the resistance to a stress, you can actively start breeding those lines together more so that you're generating more offspring that have this stress tolerance. So we're not looking at modifying any genes or changing any genes. It's more about being targeted in how you do selective breeding, for example. So by sequencing corals that have a low stress tolerance to increased temperatures and sequencing corals with a high stress tolerance, you can narrow down the sort of the haystack in which you look for that needle of hope in too. So it's more about finding the genes that are markers for increased stress tolerance so that you can single those individuals out early on and use them as a broodstock for generating more tolerant offspring later on.
Yeah, it is quite interesting because obviously when we talk about genetic modification, people think, well, that's science fiction type stuff. That's something you'd cook up in a test tube in a lab. But it is something realistically human beings have been doing for centuries and centuries by, as
absolutely,
you mentioned there, breeding hardier kind of breeds of plants and the like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look at all of our dog species and all of that. That's selective breeding. That's finding a trait that you go, that's what I want my little dog to look at, and just breeding for that specific look all the time. I mean, it's exactly the same thing, only being a bit more targeted going. We want corals that tolerate stress better. So we know that by genotyping a coral, we know that, okay, this particular one will cope better in hot weather, so let's make sure that we breed on that one.
So looking at, well, the possibility of this process taking place, when would we have to actually get started? Because obviously at the moment a lot of people are saying, well, why bother legislating? It's too late to save the Great Barrier Reef as it is. Obviously that would not be your view, but when would we actually have to get started on making sure the reef survives?
Oh, look, now, and we are starting. This is part of the starting of it. Absolutely. Look, the Great Barrier Reef is still there. And one of the important things that we need to remember here in Australia is that while we still have the diversity that we have out on the reef, that's when you need to start working on these solutions. That's when you need to make sure that you capture all of the inherent resilience that still exists in the reef. I mean, waiting until the reef is gone is pointless because then we've lost all of this genetic diversity. And part of this project is to show the enormous diversity that's out there, making sure that we maintain as much as we possibly can of it. Because at the end of the day, any species, organism's ecosystem's capacity to adapt is in its diversity. The more you have of a single species, the more likely you are to have individuals that will survive. So yeah, start now, start yesterday. We should have started 10 years ago. And I mean, we are. There are a lot of very, very talented people doing a lot of good work out there, everything that they can to save the reef.
Petra, really appreciate your time. It sounds like an absolutely fascinating breakthrough, fascinating field to me. I really appreciate your time this morning.
No, thank you. It was good to have a chat.
That was Dr. Petra Lundgren from the Great Barrier Reef Foundation speaking with